Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 18. Now, after this, it came about that David defeated the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and its towns from the hand of the Philistines. And it defeated Moab, and the Moabites became servants to David, bringing tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, king of Zobah, as far as Hamath, and as he went to establish his rule to the Euphrates River. And David took with him 1,000 chariots and 7,000 horsemen, 20,000 foot soldiers, and David hamstrung all the chariots' horses, but reserved enough for them for 100 chariots. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 20,000 men of the Arameans. Then David put garrisons among the Arameans of Damascus, and the Arameans became servants to David, bringing tribute, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold, which were carried by the servants of Hadadezer, and brought them to Jerusalem. Also from Tibbeth and from Kun, cities of Hadadezer, David took a very large amount of bronze, with which Solomon made the bronze sea and the pillars and the bronze utensils. Now when Tou, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, king of Zobah, he sent Hadoram, his son, to King David to greet him and to bless him, because he had fought against Hadadezer and had war with Tou. And Hadoram brought all kinds of articles of gold and silver and bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord with the silver and the gold which he had carried away from all the nations, from Edom, Moab, the sons of Ammon, the Philistines, and from Amalek. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, defeated 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. Then he put garrisons in Edom, and all the Edomites became servants to David. And the Lord helped David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, and he administers justice and righteousness for all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Abimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests, and Shavsha was secretary. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cheratites and the Pelatites, and the sons of David were chiefs at the king's side. Amen. So this takes place after he was told, in a kind of way, rebuked by God, that he would not build the temple. We talked about, I know it seemed like it was such a long time ago, but it was just one chapter ago. And so now David kind of consolidates his reign. And there's not a lot of information, but this is something that I was praying this morning, what came into my heart. This passage, more than anything else, is really dealing with the faithfulness of God. You see that David, in some sense, kind of gets disciplined, and he does not have the privilege of building the temple. And so it's not a good time for him. Something that he was excited. Remember, he talked to the prophet Nathan, and he had it in his heart to do this thing. And God says, no, you're not going to do it. But someone else from your family line is going to do this thing. And so you would think that David now is in a place of despair. He's in a place of really deep sorrow and sadness. But what does God do in the midst of that? He blesses David. He actually expands David's territory. This is kind of little significant, but he actually takes over the whole territory of the Philistines. Gath being the greatest city in all of Philistia, and he actually now is conqueror of this place. And then it stretches off to the Ammonites and then the Arameans and goes on and on and on. And you can really see how even in the midst of discipline sometimes, that God's hand is not lifted off of us. You know, even in very difficult times, God is still there. There may be a day of judgment, but his favor lasts forever. And that kind of got me thinking. And I remember a time in my life where I wouldn't say I was under the discipline of the Lord, but I was definitely in the desert place. And this is my 2 years I was serving with my pastor, Pastor Keith. Remember the whole testimony? I wanted to learn to be a son. And it was 2 very, very difficult years. And I would say that if I've ever felt depressed in my whole life, And if you know me, I'm not really prone to depression. That's not really my makeup as a person. You know, even my old pastors always say that I'm an eternal optimist. And I'm always optimistic in that way. And that's kind of my personality. But I would say in this period of time, I think I was depressed. If depression means that you didn't want to wake up, and then when you woke up, all you want to do is watch TV. And then you didn't want to do anything. You didn't want to read the Bible. You didn't want to pray. I think that's depression. So I was never diagnosed by anybody, but that's basically what I went through for, you know, I mean, if that's what you're doing every day, please seek help, right? I think that's not a good place to live in your life right now, you know, just watching TV and that kind of stuff. I mean, TV for leisure, but I'm saying, like, you don't want to do anything else, okay? So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But I went through that season. But you know, it's interesting. I mean, I was just praying this morning, just thinking about that. But you know what happened to me during that season? I got married. I mean, it's crazy. Like when you think about it, I met somebody in that season. It took a while for her to be convinced, but eventually she was. And then we dated, and even though professionally. In fact, Lisa was a really good distraction. It helped me to take my mind off the state of my being in that way, which is kind of good or bad, depending on how way you look at it. But it really did something. And as I look back at that time, even though I was going through a difficult time, God never left my side. Even though I was disciplined or definitely going through a refiner's fire, God was with me. And I look back and think, wow, even that time, I mean, I got married during that time. And God put together, you know, my wife and I in this season. And I can really resonate with David in this place. You know, in his hour where he is prevented from doing what he wants to do. And not just what he wants to do, when he's prevented from doing what his is in his heart to do, not for himself, but for the Lord. And God says, no, I'm not going to use you. You're a man of war. This is not going to work. But his promises is still there. And then it gets passed on to his children. And we see that even after that, so I love this. The first verse, now after this. Then David comes and he steps into his greatest military triumph, which is subduing the Philistines. And then he gets to his other triumph over the Moabites and then the Arameans. And then Hadadezer. These are all enemies and powerful enemies. And yet even in the midst of that, God was faithful and he continued to expand his territory. See, you need to understand that even when we're going through difficult times, it doesn't mean God leaves us. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that God abandons us in that place. God is still there. In fact, God is still speaking to us. I used to think, and it was really kind of my bad reading of the scriptures, but I used to think that when we sin or we do bad things that God doesn't speak to us. That's not true, actually. God speaks to us all the time. I think when we sin, what it does is it makes us very dull to hear what God says to us. And you know, the Bible tells us, you know, very clearly that our prayers are hindered. It says if we regard sin in our heart, the Bible says God does not hear. And so it doesn't say God does not speak. He's always speaking to us, and that's what leads us into repentance. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to our hearts to bring conviction into us, and then we turn from our ways and we repent. And so think about it, even in the midst of anger or in the midst of wrath or however you want to call it, discipline, God always speaks. And it's so different than how we operate as human beings, isn't it? Like if I'm mad at my wife, I don't want to talk to her. You know what I mean? Like if I'm mad at my kids, you know, and after I yell at them, then I don't want to talk to them. I don't even want to see them. This is really bad. But early on, I used to tell my wife, just give me some space. That's actually the nice way of saying it. I used to say, get out of my face, and don't ever do that to your spouse, okay? This is not very good language. But basically, like, you know, give me some space. Leave me alone, basically. And even Andrew right now, every time he's getting disciplined, I don't know where he learned this, probably from me, but he says, leave me alone, leave me alone. You know, you need to take a bath. No, leave me alone. That's our typical response of how we do these things. And yet, isn't it the goodness, the graciousness of God? Even when we mess up, God doesn't leave us alone. God's with us. God stands alongside of us. He's our advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the one that stands right alongside of us, never leaves our side, regardless of the bad things that we do. And God never left David by his side as well. Right? That's even though it's our natural instinct, God is, you know, thank God, God is God. And he's not scared or turned off by our evil. He's not turned off by our sinfulness. He's not turned off by our attitudes. He comes right alongside of us, and he still speaks to us in this place. And in, you know, the place where there could be thorns, right, there's always roses at the end of that. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Even David, even in the midst of a very, very, very disappointing time for David, yet God still blessed him. God actually gave him his greatest military conquest to date in that place. And maybe you may be in a desert right now, and you may be thinking, God, where are you? You know where God is? He's right next to you. He is right next to you. In fact, you've heard me teach this many times, and it's really the beauty of seeing the terrain in Israel. You know, the wilderness, particularly the Judean wilderness, where leaders would always go off to. If you actually go back to the Hebrew and look what the word means, to the Jew, the wilderness is really means the place where he speaks. And there's something about the brokenness that we offer. And when we come into these times of darkness and sadness, that's precisely where God comes in the forefront. It's the place where he speaks. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so let's close our eyes today. And if you are in that moment, let the Holy Spirit speak to you that he has not abandoned you. He may be disciplining you, but it doesn't mean he's abandoned you. And he's with you right where you're at. And he's walking with you. And the reality is that some of the greatest things may happen to you in that place of rejection. And so if we're feeling lost and alone today and feeling maybe even abandoned by God, God has not abandoned you. He's right there with you. He was right there with David. He was right there with me in some of my darkest hours. He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. So let's sing. Let's pray today.
Depend on you.
Let's fall on the rock, as the psalmist says, that is higher than I. And no matter what we're going through today, maybe you feel like you're being disciplined by the Lord, or you're in the desert, or maybe you feel depressed. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He's not abandoned you. He's actually right there with you. The only reason that you're still here and still able to function is because of His grace. And let's just acknowledge God's presence right next to us. Let's acknowledge that God's care, despite our circumstances, that's faith. And let's just run to Him, the rock that is higher than I. And let's pray. Let's pray for our friends and family that are going through cancer and going through therapies and may feel like God's abandoned them in some way. And let's pray for the presence of the Lord to be so near to them that they would recognize the awareness. And let's just pray for God's healing word. Let's lift up. Let's pray for those that are ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. And let's pray for Jesus to reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community that are going through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Pray for Carrie Lam. Pray that they would rule righteously. Let's pray against the wealth gap and the people would gather together to help and be a blessing. Let's pray for revival here. Pray for lift up the churches. Let's pray for our friends, Sports Services, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, Korean Church. Let's continue to lift up the Hong Kong students that may be prone to commit suicide. Let's pray that God would intervene. Let's pray for the domestic helpers and families that are in distress and their children. Let's just ask God's hand to touch this city. Let's pray. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to use us to really lead this church and that our labor will be very fruitful as we hear from the Lord and operate out of His directives. Let's pray for our families. Pray for protection. Just pray for our health as well during this time. Let's lift up. Lift up our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and baristas. Pray for our leaders, our volunteers. Pray that every person that enters into this place will be welcomed by the presence of God and a warm face and smile. Let's lift up. Pray for our worship and sound and AV teams. Pray for a real heart of worship, a heart of excellence. Let's pray that they would really continue to lead us in the presence of the Lord. Pray for house church tonight. First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, Soho, and Westfield. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts. Let's pray for the presence of the Lord to just really meet with us during our time of worship As we get into the Word, let's pray for an open hearts and open minds, and real revelation would come, and then real ministry, deep ministry would happen amongst one another. Let's lift up our times tonight. And lastly, I know it's not on the screen, but if we could pray, there's a couple of big events coming up. Pray for our parenting seminar in the middle of June. Let's just pray for our speakers, Pastors Eric and Sarah Lehman, that God would really minister to our parents and they would learn and really have an impartation. Let's also pray for our retreat coming up at the end of June. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really encounter us, that our families would go and just really be touched by God. And pray for RT and for Bobby, and let's pray for their health, and pray that God would give them a word for our community. And let's lift up these two events coming up in June. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Oh, God, regardless of what we're going through, God, you never leave our side. Lord, you are Emmanuel, God, with us. And so help us to be aware of your presence, God. Lord, help us to be mindful, Lord, in all that we do, regardless of where we're at, Lord. And so we just thank you for your goodness over us. Watch over us this week, God, this day. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.